you're sleeping, beware. I might call you out. Looking. All right. Hey, it's time for Kids Church, age 3 through grade 4. You guys can head out the back doors. Have fun and be good. Well, I'm Pastor Phil. I'm bringing you the word this morning. We're going to talk about living in the body. I have a question. Do you know how many members of the Tate family belong to your church? Seven? Six? Okay, well, you know, you're probably thinking of the wrong Tate family. Because I'm talking about the one with old man Dick Tate, who wants to run everything. And Uncle Roe Tate, who tries to change everything. And then Sister Aggie Tate, stirs up plenty of trouble with help from her husband, Irritate. Whenever new projects are suggested, Hesitate wants to wait until next year, while Devastate provides the voice of doom. Then there is Aunt Emmy Tate, who wants our church to be like all other churches. But not all members of the family are bad. There's Brother Facili. He's quite helpful in church matters. And there's the delightful, happy member of the family, Miss Felicity. And of course, well, there's the black sheep of the family, Aunt Pew. He's completely cut himself off from the church family. Living in the body. We are each part of the body of Christ, and we need to learn to live together in the body of Christ. Right? Dan Bernard asked this question. Do you remember putting your face above a headless frame that was painted to represent a muscle man, a clown, or a bathing beauty? You ever been to an amusement park and they got one of those places you put your face in? Okay. Many of us have had our pictures taken this way, and the photos are humorous because the head doesn't fit the body. Okay? Now, if we could picture Christ as the head of our local church, Open Bible Church, would the world laugh at the misfit, or would they stand in awe of a human body so closely related to the divine head? Pretty good question, isn't it? Hey, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. You ready? All right. Let's all stand and I'll read the word. I'm going to read a few verses here. You can follow along. Here's what it says. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. All right, you may be seated. The body of Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. And my body's not working very well right now. I'm trying to get that in the slot. There we go. If you're a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ. That means you and me. We're part of the body. And we have to learn to live together. Because when a body doesn't function well together, that's a problem, isn't it? I mean, when you're eating with a fork, you need to put a guard on your eyeballs because your arm isn't working right. You know what I'm saying? We need to learn to live together, work together in the body. Does anybody have any weird quirks? How many can do this? Huh? Yes? Live long and prosper. Okay, here's one. Yes, my kids are already thinking of it. Here's one. If you stick your hand straight out and then rotate, how far can you go? Okay, this is my maximum right here. In fact, if I try to go farther, it hurts. I cannot flatten it out. So, you know, there's different parts of the body. Okay, so we're thinking about the body. How do we live in the body? Number one, acknowledge the necessity of each part. Every part is important. If you're in the body of Christ, you are important. You're a body part. And each part is important. Aesop has written a number of fables, and there's one, he says, one day it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work and that the belly was having all the food. So they held a meeting and after a long discussion decided to strike work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, members began to find that they themselves were not in very active condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest. Thus they found that even the belly, in its dull, quiet way, was doing necessary work for the body, and that all must work together, or the body would go to pieces. Simple little story, but it illustrates the importance of every part, and we are the body of Christ. In our text in verse 18, it says that God has arranged the parts. God arranged the parts. And in verse 22, it says, even the weaker parts are indispensable. And verse 23 says, even the less honorable parts are treated with special honor. We are each a part of the body of Christ, and each part is important and necessary. General Eisenhower once rebuked one of his generals for referring to a soldier as just a private. He reminded him that the army could function better without its generals than it could without its foot soldiers. If this war is won, he said, it will be won by the soldiers who are privates. In the same way, the common, ordinary, one-talent Christians are the very backbone of the church. We have our great evangelists, our super congregations led by dynamic elders, our wealthy brethren who are able to finance great works. But if the work of the Lord is to be done, if the gospel is to be taken to the lost, it will be the ordinary Christians who will do it. Every part is important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We each have a part to play in the body of Christ. We each have a part, and so we're each important. And though some parts may seem insignificant, each one is necessary. Individually, we may be weak, but together we become strong, right? Vesta Kelly says this, snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things, but just look at what they can do when they stick together. Yeah, each part is necessary, so acknowledge the necessity of each part. And then number two, to live in the body, we need to accept the diversity within the body. Since each part is a necessity, we've got to be okay with diversity. Verse 14 says we're not just one part, but many. And he even talks about if the whole body were an eye, that'd be a weird looking thing, wouldn't it? Just one gigantic eyeball. Be a monster. We're not one part, but we're many. And Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says that the members do not all have the same function. And Romans 12, verse 6 says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And so there's diversity in the body of Christ. We are not all exactly the same. Hallelujah. Right? And you could ask this question, what would my church be like if every member were just like me? Yeah, it would be missing out on some stuff, right? If everybody was just like me, well, my wife would say we'd have a bunch of weirdos. But if everybody was just like me, we'd have a church full of speakers and musicians. But nobody would take care of the babies. That's not my thing, you know? And you could just put that on yourself. If everybody was just like you, what would we be missing? A lot. We'd be missing a lot, wouldn't we? We need the diversity in the body of Christ. James Hewitt says, you have your gifts not so much for your own sake as for the sake of others. You are like an apple tree that produces fruit not for its own consumption, but for the consumption of others. Your gifts are given so you can bless others by ministering to them. If you have the gift of teaching, you have it so that others in the body will be taught. If you have the gift of hospitality, it's because others need the gracious welcome that they receive from you, and so on. If even one gifted person fails to function, the body of Christ is deprived of a ministry it needs to function well. We need the diversity within the body. I'm glad I have two hands, but I'm also glad I have two feet as well and two ears. And, you know, glad it isn't all just a hand. You understand? We need the diversity. So how do we live in the body with so much diversity? Because when there's diversity, sometimes we have trouble getting along. Right? And so how do we do it? Well, Romans 14, 19 says this, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And so we could actually go back to point number one, where it says, acknowledge the necessity of each part. You know, don't think that you're the only one that matters. Every part matters. Colossians 3, 13 says this, bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with one another. I know we've talked about this before, but this is always a good reminder that bear with one another really means put up with each other. That's what it means. Put up with each other. Well, I don't like them. Tough. Put up with it. Okay? And forgive each other. In any kind of relationship ever, there's going to be need to be forgiveness. Okay? You know what? They used to say love is never having to say you're sorry. Whatever. Love is having to say you're sorry a lot and meaning it. And love is having to forgive and move on. That's all part of living in the body. We've got to be able to do that. We are the body of Christ. We're not just a bunch of individuals. We are actually necessary parts in the body of Christ. We have to live together. And then our memory verse, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. No unwholesome talk. So when you're yapping, is it building up or is it tearing down? Okay, this is just nitty-gritty, regular stuff. When you're talking, what's coming out? Is it positive or negative? Is it helpful? Is it building up? Is it meeting somebody's needs? Is it benefiting those who are listening? Or are you leading them down a bad path with what you're saying? So we need to accept the diversity within the body. So this is a good spot to look at your neighbor and say, boy, you're different, but that's good. It's a good thing that we're different because we need all the parts of the body. And then actively protect the unity of the whole body. This is the assignment of every part. And you're a part, so that means this is your personal assignment to protect the unity of the whole body. How many remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto? Well, Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding through a canyon together when all of a sudden both sides were filled with Native American warriors on horses dressed for battle. The Lone Ranger turned to Tonto and asked, "What are we going to do?" And Tonto replied, "What you mean we, white man?" Not very good unity there. We need to protect the unity. Verse 16 says that each part belongs to the body. Each is part of the whole. In verse 24, it says that God combined all the parts. He caused us to fit together in an overall picture. Now, sometimes we may think, well, I am just an insignificant part, but God sees the big picture, and he says, but that part matters. You ever put a puzzle together and you're missing one piece? Drives you nuts. God sees the whole puzzle picture, and he says, I need that piece to complete the picture. That's you. He needs you to complete the picture. Every part matters. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Did you get that? Each member belongs to all the others. We belong with each other. We belong to each other. That's what the Bible says. We belong to each other. You're not just your own. You matter to me. I'm not just my own. I matter to you. And look around the room and we all belong to each other. And that belonging actually suggests that there's some rights that are to be expected. Since you belong to me, I can expect something from you. Right? There's belonging. That's what the scripture says about the body of Christ. We belong to each other. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. We need to be agreeing with each other, particularly about spiritual matters. Okay, I'm not talking about every little fine point because that's not going to happen, but we ought to be agreeing with each other on the things that really matter. In John chapter 17, Jesus actually prayed this prayer, and he's speaking about believers, and he says, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed for unity amongst believers. And this is a prayer that we get to answer. Normally we pray and we want God to answer our prayers, but this is one that Jesus prayed and we get to answer it. Will we be unified or not? We can answer that prayer. Let's be unified. In fact, Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Every effort. Every effort. Well, I just don't get along with so-and-so anymore. Have you really tried everything? Have you really given it your best shot? Oh, now he's meddling now. Getting in my business. Well, that's my job, to get in your business. Make every effort. Every effort. Give it everything you got. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, let me just stop right there. How many of you are encouraged that you have received Christ and you're a follower of Jesus, that he saved you? Okay, so this scripture is for you because you have encouragement from being united with Christ. If you have any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, if you even have just a little bit, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Be like-minded. Be one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing out of selfish ambition. Consider others better than yourselves. Yeah. Scripture's very direct sometimes, isn't it? Consider others better than yourselves. And don't just be concerned about your own interests. Be concerned about others' interests as well. Well, I don't like the way this thing's going. Okay? Maybe it really matters to somebody else, though. You know, the question you really have to ask is it biblically wrong? Okay, if it's biblically wrong, then we need to change it. But if it's just a personal preference, maybe somebody else, that's really works for them. Look to the interests of others. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's how you stay unified. When somebody's got something great going on, we're happy with them. When somebody is suffering, we suffer with them. In fact, that's what it said in our text. If one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. You ever been working with a hammer and hit your finger? Does just the finger react? No, the whole body reacts. I've been there before, kind of boom, and it's like, yeah, you know, the whole body. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. If one of us is suffering, the rest of us should come alongside and be there with them. If one is rejoicing, we don't get jealous and frustrated that good things are happening to them. We rejoice that God is blessing them and good things are happening for them. That's good. We need to protect the unity. Weak things united become strong. So we need to protect the unity. Acknowledge the necessity of each part, accept the diversity in the body, and actively protect the unity of the whole body. That's how you live in the body. Now, these principles apply in a variety of ways. We need all the gifts that God has placed in people. We must realize that not everyone is gifted just the same. That's all right. In fact, that's actually excellent. That's great that we're not all gifted exactly the same. Also, we need to realize, and we should be able to say, my gift is not superior to anyone else's. Neither is everybody else's gift superior to mine. They're just different. Right? I already mentioned before about, you know, if everybody was just like me, we'd have a bunch of speakers, but we wouldn't have anybody take care of the babies. They're just different. It's not one is better than the other. They're just different is all. It's not only true in gifts, but it's in our personalities as well. You're not all weird like me. Here's the truth. Personality. Some are very outgoing. Others are more introverted. Some are very energetic. Others are more reserved. And it's okay for us to be different. Because sometimes the high energy people can get a little too energetic, you know, maybe upset over something. And then the laid back ones can help calm them down. And sometimes the laid back ones can just seem like they don't care about anything at all. And then the energetic ones can kind of boost them up a little. You see what I'm talking about? They're different gifts, different personalities. There are different interests and passions as well. These principles apply here as well. Intense worshipers tend to think everybody should be more involved in worship. And I'm probably one of those. I always think, come on, guys, let's get with it here. That's kind of where I'm at. Okay? The studiers think everyone should study harder and should know the Greek language and all, you know, get into all the details. The givers think everybody should give more. The organizers want everything and everyone more organized. Here's the truth. The thing you are passionate about is not necessarily what everyone else needs all the time. Each one has their individual needs as well as their main areas of interest. And it's okay for us all to be a little bit different. As long as we are within the boundaries of what is morally right and biblically right, and as long as we are generally moving in the same direction, it's okay for each one to be unique. We don't all have to be exactly the same. We must accept the diversity, even acknowledge the necessity of each part, and above all, we must actively protect the unity of the whole. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us, and even more, it's about him. He is the head. We are the body. Now, as a pastor, which literally means shepherd, one of my main responsibilities is to protect the flock. That's what a shepherd does, protects the flock. And one of the things that the flock needs protection from is itself. It's true. Okay. Why do you think there's so many scriptures that deal with relationships? Have you read the New Testament? There's a whole bunch of it about how to get along with each other. Okay? Because God knows that when you got a whole bunch of different people, it can be challenging. And so we need this kind of direction from time to time to remember we're all part of the body of Christ. I believe that God is blessing our church, but we need to be careful as we go along. The enemy would love to come in and create havoc in the good thing that God is doing. And one of his favorite tools is messing with our relationships with each other. It's one of the things the enemy loves to do. Oh, you really felt the Spirit of God today, but did you notice so-and-so? That's the work of the enemy. He wants to distract us from what God is up to. And that's why we need to apply this message today and always. Acknowledge the necessity of each part. Accept the diversity and actively protect the unity of the whole. Because we are the body of Christ. Every part matters, though they are different, and we need to stick together. Because a body that is pulled apart is no longer a body. Now, next Sunday is Back to Church Sunday. And we're focusing on the church being the people. Okay? And so we will begin at 11 o'clock at McCose Park. at the shelter there by simply gathering together and enjoying each other's company and encouraging each other. There's going to be yard games and table games available. Then at noon, we're going to have a devotional followed by a potluck meal. So bring food enough for you, your family, and a few guests. Okay? Then at 1:30, we're going to have an all-church softball game, and anybody can play, and those that don't want to play can cheer it on. That's what my wife does. She doesn't play. She'll cheer it on. And this is going to be a casual, laid-back day that might appeal to a newcomer, so invite a friend. Come see what church is like without actually going to a church building. There's a novel concept. And all of these things are meant to encourage and build up the body of Christ. So next Sunday, we're going to have church by being the church. Okay? Let's do it. Don't forget, 11 o'clock next Sunday at McCoe's Shelter Park House. Yeah, something like that. Back to church Sunday. It'll be good. And we're going to be the body of Christ. Okay? All right. This morning I've asked Mike and Elisa Huss to close things up for us. Elisa, did you not know this? Okay. Because Naomi and I want to be at the back and be able to greet you. We don't get to do that all the time. And so I'm going to turn it over to you guys now. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor Phil. Am I on? Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Pastor Phil. I'm going to close with a prayer here, but then Elisa and I are going to be up here to pray with anybody that needs any prayer for, you know, whatever you need prayer for. You know, we can all use some at some point in time in our lives. And so if you need prayer today, we'll be available. But Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you've called each and every one of us to be part of the body, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you give us the tools to be that part of the body, Lord, and help us to identify which part of the body that we are, Lord, so that we can all work together and be a blessing and do what Christ has called us to do, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just make this body the strong body, Lord, that is noticed even by people that are outside the church, because really that's what we're here for. We're not here to just every day come and enjoy the music and the great preaching, but we're here to grow your church, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you tell each and every one of us what part that we have in that piece, Lord, so that we can help your church as a large become more involved and engaged and grow, Lord, in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.